When Roman soldiers stepped onto the shores of Britain in AD 43, they were not entering an unknown world. Britain was distant, unpredictable, and surrounded by a sea that had frustrated Roman ambitions before, but it was not a mysterious island hidden beyond the limits of civilization. For generations, merchants, diplomats, exiles, and tribal leaders had traveled between Britain and the European mainland. Roman wine, pottery, jewelry, and luxury goods had already crossed the English Channel. British rulers had already learned how to use Roman coins, imitate Roman styles, and negotiate with the most powerful empire in the Western world. Some had even visited Rome or appealed directly to Roman emperors for political support. The invasion of AD 43 was therefore not the first contact between Rome and Britain. It was the beginning of something more consequential. A systematic military conquest that would transform much of the island into a Roman province and reshape British society for centuries. The story of the invasion cannot be reduced to a single battle or a simple confrontation between disciplined Roman legions and defiant tribal warriors. It was a carefully prepared imperial campaign, but it was also a gamble. The Emperor Claudius, who had only recently come to power, needed a major victory to strengthen his authority. The British tribes were divided by rivalries, succession disputes, and competing ambitions. Some resisted Rome fiercely. Others saw Roman intervention as an opportunity to gain advantages over their enemies. The invasion succeeded not merely because Rome possessed superior weapons or military organization, but because Roman commanders understood how to exploit local divisions and turn battlefield victories into political control. To understand why Rome invaded Britain in AD 43, it is necessary to look back almost a century to the expeditions of Julius Caesar. In 55 BC and again in 54 BC, Caesar crossed the Channel during his campaigns in Gaul. His expeditions were daring, but they did not result in a permanent occupation. Caesar fought several engagements, negotiated with tribal leaders, demanded hostages, and claimed an impressive achievement for Roman audiences. Yet he withdrew without leaving behind forts, colonies, or an administrative system. Britain remained independent. Even so, Caesar's expeditions had lasting importance. They demonstrated that a Roman army could cross the Channel and operate on British soil. They also provided Rome with valuable information about the island's geography, inhabitants, and political structure. Caesar's writings encouraged Roman readers to imagine Britain as a place that could one day be conquered. Later emperors inherited not only a strategic opportunity but also an unfinished imperial ambition. During the decades following Caesar's expeditions, Rome expanded its power across Western Europe. Gaul became firmly integrated into the empire. Roman roads, military bases, commercial networks, and provincial institutions reached the shores opposite Britain. The Channel remained a boundary, but it was no longer an enormous barrier separating two completely different worlds. It became a busy maritime corridor linking British communities with Roman-controlled territory. Trade intensified. Wealthy British elites imported Roman wine in large amphorae, fine tableware, bronze vessels, and decorative objects. These goods were not simply practical purchases. They were status symbols. A tribal ruler who distributed imported wine at a feast or displayed Roman-style objects in his household could demonstrate wealth, influence, and connections beyond Britain. Roman goods became instruments of local politics. In southeastern Britain, where trade with the continent was strongest, certain rulers developed increasingly centralized kingdoms. One of the most important was Cunobelinus, a powerful king whose influence extended across a broad area centered on Camulodunum, the settlement later known as Colchester.